Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. Today we're looking at a couple of verses from Psalm 147, verses 10 through 11, entitled, God Doesn't Admire Legs. Let's pray. Father, as we open up your word and dig to understand the meanings, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to understand what you're saying to us, what you're teaching us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To say that God doesn't admire your legs is shocking, except that is what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 147, 10 through 11. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Let's take a few minutes to understand what he is saying and why it is important to us. The words suggest a military context. Horses weren't generally used by the everyday man in Bible times. You might have a donkey to plow with and carry burdens. If you were better off, you might have a team of oxen to help you plow deeper and break up rocky soil. But the Hebrews didn't use horses much in agriculture. Rather, they were used in war. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, verse 10. Foot soldiers were terrified by a cavalry charge of large war horses that could trample them down. Even more dangerous was a team of horses hitched to a war chariot, a fast-moving platform for archers who could rapidly break through the enemy's lines and bring deadly weapons up close. Horses are the pride of a commander and strike fear into a soldier in the battlefield. But God is not impressed with the strength of horses. David wrote, Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. If you have horses and chariots, good, or tanks or fighter aircraft, great. There's nothing wrong with them, and you may actually need them for your military defense, but don't make them the object of your confidence. Yahweh isn't impressed with legs either. Verse 10, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. Taking pleasure in the beauty of the symmetry of a well-formed human leg is not the point here. The Hebrew text refers to, literally, leg of the man. This is not men in general, but the man, the mighty man, the champion in war, whose strong legs enabled him to push forward against the enemy again and again and pursue him, or the swift runner who carries the news of battle. We're impressed with the weightlifter, whose massive legs and shoulders allow him to deadlift 1,000 pounds or more. Or sprinter Usain Bolt, who ran the 100-meter dash in 9.58 seconds. Amazing. God is happy to see us use the gifts he gives us, but God is not impressed by the extremes of human achievement. The psalmist tells us now what does impress God. What gives him pleasure? Verses 10 and 11 use two Hebrew words that are near synonyms. Hafesh, take delight in, be pleased with, desire. The basic meaning is to feel great favor towards something, to experience emotional delight. Then, ratza, be pleased with, be favorable to, in verses 10 and 11. The root frequently describes God's pleasure with his servants or their sacrifices. The noun is used in the sense of what is well-pleasing, of divine grace and favor. Too often, we operate towards God in a negative sense, a legalistic sense. What can't I do? What does God prohibit? What would be crossing the limits of the law? This was the Pharisees' orientation. What can I get away with without actually breaking the law? But the psalmist points us to the positive, to seeking what gives God real pleasure. What does he get a kick out of seeing in us? The Apostle Paul tells us to make this a lifelong study in our relationship with the Most High. Ephesians 5:10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. try to discern, find out, proving, translate a Greek word that means to test in order to learn the genuineness of something, then to learn about something by experimenting and testing. Find out by practice what pleases him, and do more of that. A really good hotel gains repeated visits from guests by finding out what they like and how they like it, and then bringing it to them without asking the next time they arrive. Delight the customer. Our customer is God himself. So what really makes God happy? The psalmist mentions two qualities of character. Verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Fearing God sounds pretty negative, but we need to understand it. Fear here doesn't mean terror. Rather, it means something like be in awe of. A God-fearer is one who cares more about offending God than offending people. Some are swayed by the values of their peer group, their culture, a very strong pressure indeed. But the one who fears God is swayed by what he or she knows about God, what pleases him, what angers him. I have a rule when I drive, don't mess with buses and big trucks. They're much bigger than my car and can crush me if I don't respect them. The one who fears God knows that it is God's standards that count ultimately. I live in a culture that disrespects my God and his Christ more and more, in word and in deed. But I am a God-fearer. I respect the Lord. I am in awe of him. And today's passage tells me that this brings him pleasure. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. What does it mean to hope in his steadfast love? The Hebrew verb translated hope in or put hope in doesn't mean I hope that it happens, hoping that it might happen, but being resigned to the fact that it might not. Rather, this Hebrew verb refers to having a confident expectation that something will indeed come to pass. Trust, solid faith. The focus of our trust is Yahweh's steadfast love, unfailing love, mercy. These translate the Hebrew noun hesed, a difficult word to translate because we don't have a single English equivalent for it. Heath summarizes it this way. Hesed is the disposition of one person toward another that surpasses ordinary kindness and friendship. It is the inclination of the heart to express amazing grace to the one who is loved. It is a committed, familial love that is deeper than social expectations, duties, shifting emotions, or what is earned or deserved by the recipient. What we see in this passage is the familiar clash between the world's values and God's values. We humans love to keep score, whether in athletics or by salary or net worth or titles or houses or offices held. Being a winner, that's what our world admires. In a discussion with Pharisees about their value of money, Jesus tells us, what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight, Luke 16:15. Again, Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Money is important. Sex is important. Power is important in defense and just governance. But when money, sex, and power become the focus of our lives, they come up short. They aren't good tools to measure us by. Back in the glory days of mass evangelism, I had people say to me, Billy Graham will surely get a great reward when he gets to heaven. My usual response was, I hope so. But it may be that a poor widow who prays faithfully in her own small corner of the world will receive a greater reward than Billy Graham. As the Lord whispered to Samuel when he was seeking which son of Jesse to anoint to be king, 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We humans are a poor judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart, even our own hearts. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us, I don't even judge myself, 1 Corinthians 4:3. But the Scriptures instruct us, and gradually we begin to learn God's values and what pleases Him. Yes, God loves to see us use the gifts He gives us for the purposes that serve Him. Don't stop. Use your gifts for His glory. Just realize that what really touches God's heart, what really gives Him deep pleasure, is seeing His sons and daughters reverence Him and day by day trust their whole lives to His steadfast and enduring love. Faith and love touch the very throne and the very heart of God. They are what please Him. Let's pray. Father God, so much of what we value is just straw in Your eyes. Help us to learn to value what You value, to see what You see, and to come to You with love and a simple trust that will please Your heart. Forgive us, O Lord, for all of our putting on to impress people, sometimes to impress ourselves. And help us humble ourselves before You with joy and peace in the grace that You pour out to us, O God. We love You. In Jesus' name, we pray.